produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. Always, it seems like from one week to the next, a lot happens. And needless to say, what a week we've seen here in America and around the world. This coronavirus has captured the attention and the imagination of people all over the world as we deal with the, as many would say, very scary import of this virus that causes so much havoc, not only on the health scene, but on the financial scene. If anyone's been paying any attention this past week to the stock market, we've seen massive losses. There was a major rally on Friday, which was good to see, and hopefully things will stabilize and what losses have been sustained in the past week or so will over time be recouped in a hopefully short period of time. But all this made me realize that, you know, we live in a time where everything, you know, can seemingly one day be going along really good, life is great, and at the twinkling of an eye, something as microscopic as a little virus, a coronavirus, a COVID-19, can come along and totally change everything. So what I would like to talk to you in this edition of Power Up Your Family is to talk about the importance of prayer. Individual prayer, family prayer, prayer within faith communities, and even prayer as a nation. Now, many are aware, and probably many are not aware, that on Sunday, March the 15th, the President of the United States made a proclamation that on Sunday, March 15th, would be a national day of prayer for all Americans affected by the coronavirus pandemic and for our national response efforts. Now, stated in that proclamation are the following sentences or statements. He said, "I urge Americans of all faiths and religious traditions and backgrounds to offer prayers for all those affected, including people who have suffered harm or lost loved ones. As your president, I ask you to pray for the health and well-being of your fellow Americans, and to remember that no problem is too big for God to handle. As we unite in prayer, we are reminded that there is no burden too heavy for God to lift or for this country to bear with his help. Luke 1:37 promises, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And those words are just as true today as they have ever been. As one nation under God, we are greater than the hardships we face. And through prayer and acts of compassion and love, we will rise to this challenge and emerge stronger and more united than ever before. May God bless each of you, and may God bless the United States of America. It would be my prayer and my hope that those who hear these words, who have heard or seen this proclamation, will take it to heart. And it's my hope and prayer that those who may not be political allies of our current president, they will not use this occasion to find fault or to use it as a partisan wedge. That we as a nation can put aside our petty politics and come together as one people, united in a common effort to protect one another and to help get us through this crisis. I'm always reminded of the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. As our nation was plunged into very, very difficult times during the what we call the Depression, when he had that famous quote of, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Now, obviously, there's a lot that goes on that can cause us to be fearful. I am thankful that over the last 45 years as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have listened to and we have heeded the counsel of our leaders in the church, apostles and prophets, who for decades have encouraged the members of the church to become prepared both spiritually and temporally. Now you might say, well, how do you become prepared temporally? Well, we've been encouraged to provide for our families in terms of storing up food and essential supplies and water. Things that if in an emergency, not an end of the world scenario or an apocalypse or anything like that, but just in short range or short-term emergencies, we would have enough provisions that we could get by for a period of time. Simple instruction about having maybe a 72-hour kit. I was hearing about this 45 years ago. 20 years later, while visiting on a business trip to California, as I put my luggage in the trunk of the business associate that I was meeting with, I asked him what the duffel bag was in the back of his trunk. And he said, oh, it was his 72-hour kit. Because in California, earthquakes are prevalent and having that type of a kit is important. This individual is not a member of my faith. And so I thought it was interesting that this counsel from prophets and apostles had seeped into the greater community and that people were following that counsel, even if they were not members of my faith. That to me was a great testimony of the wisdom of that one simple recommendation or counsel. Now, initially, we were encouraged to have a year's supply of food. And in more recent years, we're encouraged to, you know, do what we can, whether it's a two-week supply, a three-month supply, a six-month supply, but to make arrangements to add to our food storage as we are financially and temporally able to do so. So the idea is that we're not preppers, we're not hoarding large quantities of food commodities. Unlike what I've seen over the last several days as I've gone to various grocery stores and seen shelves completely stripped of things such as toilet paper, paper products, paper towels, tissue, bottled water, milk, eggs, and of course, toilet paper. Not sure what the thing about toilet paper is, but it just seems as if everybody's going crazy over getting toilet paper. And as we observe this phenomenon of people in a panic going out and acquiring these things, it caused me to be mindful of the fact that there are many in our society who do not have the resources to acquire large quantities or significant quantities of the necessary items that they may need. So I would encourage everyone to please think before you go out and panic buy. The people most at risk from the coronavirus are the elderly, the ill, and the vulnerable. These are the same people likely to be least able to go beyond their weekly shopping budget to stockpile goods. As a community, we can make sure that the elderly, the ill, and vulnerable people in our neighborhoods can find what they need still on the shelves when they come to do their weekly shopping. So keep that in mind and encourage others to not panic, to use a little common sense, and realize that the production, the chain, they call it the chain supply lines, are fine. There'll be a restocking each and every day. We just need to slow down and not get in a panic and go overboard with the gathering of commodities. I'm thankful, though, that in preparation for an occasion such as this, many of the items that are no longer available on the shelves readily, we already had in our own home supply, and it's not something that we need desperately. And so consequently, there's a great feeling of comfort, and the fear factor is greatly removed when you know that you're prepared. So I would encourage everyone to consider what it is you can do in a more tempered manner to prepare yourself for emergencies. Now, with regard to prayer, as the president has called upon our nation to have a day of prayer, it's instructive perhaps to think back and look back about the history of so-called national days of prayer. All the way back in the colonial time period, there was frequently a call for a day of prayer and fasting and Thanksgiving that we soon became the tradition for Thanksgiving, even established in 1863 as a national holiday by President Abraham Lincoln. But there's an interesting experience that happened in 1774 that illustrates how powerful prayer can be in determining the fate of a nation. Thomas Jefferson, who was more of a secular deist than he was a Christian, as some would report, suggested that while he was a member of the House of Burgesses in 1774, he called for a day of prayer in response to the efforts of the British to close Boston Harbor after the infamous Boston Tea Party of late 1773. The British Crown issued the Boston Port Act on March 7, 1774, which really was designed to destroy the Boston economy and the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Thomas Jefferson in nearby Virginia believed this dictatorial act required a response. His response was to personally draft a resolution for a, quote, day of fasting and prayer, close quote, to be held on June 1st, the day the blockade of the harbor was scheduled to begin. The resolution was introduced on May 24th and adopted unanimously by the Virginia House of Burgesses. Among its supporters were Patrick Henry, you know, give me liberty or give me death, Richard Henry Lee, later a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and George Mason, the so-called grandfather of the Bill of Rights. Here in part is how Jefferson's resolution read. This House, being deeply impressed with apprehension, deem it highly necessary that the said 1st of June be set apart by the members of this House as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, devoutly to implore the divine interposition for averting the heavy calamity which threatens destruction to our civil rights. Ordered, therefore, that the members of this House do attend with the Speaker and the Mace to the church in this city for the purposes aforesaid, and that the Reverend Mr. Price be appointed to read prayers, and the Reverend Mr. Watkin to preach a sermon. Now note, this was ordered, not simply recommended or urged, and it was the actual legislators themselves, every one of them, who went to church to participate in this day of prayer.
this was just for the churches, or that this wasn't just for the churches or the preachers or the people in the pews. No, the lawmakers themselves sensed the urgency of pleading with God for his favor and intervention. George Washington actually participated in that day of prayer, and writing in his diary, he said, went to church, fasted all day. Now, Jefferson's day of prayer had its fierce and angry opponents. British Royal Governor Lord Dunmore was so incensed that 2 days after the event, he disbanded the House of Burgesses altogether, leaving Virginians with no representative government. The response of the Virginians? They didn't quit in the face of opposition. The elected leaders of Virginia went down the street to the Raleigh Tavern, where they made the momentous decision to convene a Continental Congress. It met for the first time 3 months later, and 2 years after that produced the Declaration of Independence, which brought the United States into being. So, here's the bottom line. No Jefferson Day of Prayer, no Continental Congress, no Continental Congress, no Declaration of Independence, no Declaration of Independence, no United States of America. Thus, America owes an infinite debt of gratitude to Thomas Jefferson for declaring a day of prayer and fasting. If we follow the example of the founders in our day, perhaps God will hear our prayers too. So you can see from that simple remembrance of history, the power of prayer can make a difference when the nation requires the support of Almighty God. Now, as most of us recognize, over the years, we have established a National Day of Prayer. It was interesting to note that during the Korean War back in 1952, the desirability of a united national prayer was stated by Reverend Billy Graham, who said, "What a thrilling, glorious thing it would be to see the leaders of our country today kneeling before Almighty God in prayer. What a thrill would sweep this country. What renewed hope and courage would grip the Americans at this hour of peril." As most know, we do have a National Day of Prayer, usually I believe it's the first Thursday of May of each year. And various presidents have hosted it at the White House. Others have not, but have still done the proclamation. So National Day of Prayer, national prayer efforts obviously are important. And it's my hope that this National Day of Prayer on Sunday, March the 15th, will avail our nation many blessings. And that's the important thing to recognize, that through prayer, blessings can come. Now, let's bring this down on a personal level. The importance of prayer as individuals and the importance of prayer within our families. One of the leaders of my faith, an elder John Groberg, in talking about the power of family prayer, has stated the following. Think of the power for good as you gather your family together and thank God for all his blessings. Think of the eternal significance of daily thanking him for each member of your family and asking him to guide and bless and protect each one. Think of the strength that will come to your family as daily one member or another pours out his or her soul in love to God for other family members. Powerful statement. President Monson, president of our church, prophet, who has since passed away, said very simply, prayer is the passport to spiritual power. So what is the purpose of prayer? What's the object of prayer? Well, the object of prayer is not to change the will of God, but to secure for ourselves and for others blessings that God is already willing to grant but that are made conditional on our asking for them. He already knows the desires of our heart. But you know, it's like Christmas time comes around and we have kids who are looking forward to receiving Christmas gifts. Don't they typically tell mom or dad, or the proverbial visit to the mall Santa Claus, and express what it is they were hoping for, wanting to receive for Christmas? So there's an old saying, if you don't ask, you ain't going to get. So here's the point. Heavenly Father knows our needs. He knows what we would like. But when we humble ourselves and come before him to ask in earnest prayer for the desires of our heart, he listens. Now, many times we come away from a prayer session a little bit frustrated. You know, if we get answers to our prayers, confidence is built. But you know, if we get a no answer, we should know that that is to protect us. And many times, no answer at all means that he trusts us to act on the truth we already know. So when we don't get answers to prayers, and certainly we've all had that experience, sometimes the reason is that we may ask for something without enough faith, or we may in fact ask for something that isn't expedient or that isn't right. For us to get used to the fact that all our prayers are not automatically answered is one of life's growing experiences. Now, keep in mind this thought. The president of our church, Russell M. Nelson, has said, some people pray only when confronted with personal problems. Others don't pray at all. The scripture makes this observation, quote, "Ye do not remember the Lord your God and the things with which he hath blessed you, but ye do always remember your riches, not to thank the Lord your God for them." So the importance of prayer is should not be only in times of distress or in need or to request, but to enjoy the opportunity to have communication with Heavenly Father and to pray. Many times consider the idea of prayer where you're not asking for a thing, but you just enumerate item by item that you're thankful, the blessings that you've received, and you express those to Heavenly Father and thank him for those blessings. So as we consider the importance of prayer individually and as families, it's important for us to recognize that by our simple faith and the act of prayer, Heavenly Father recognizes and appreciates our desire to communicate with him. Now, many times we pray quickly and we jump up and say amen and we go on our way. But you know, prayer, if it's to be a communication, it should be a two-way street. If we utter words, we should be willing to wait around to hear an answer back. And I don't mean an audible voice, but many times an answer to prayer comes from a feeling that we receive, an impression. The answer comes in thoughts that come to our mind. Sometimes an answer to prayer may come to from a scripture that comes to our mind. Again, words that come to our mind. So be sensitive to the opportunity to receive answers to your prayers and not just rattle off a memorized rote prayer. Communication should be unique and special each and every time that we do so, because we don't want to have our prayer to be considered by Heavenly Father as just something we can do a little check mark by and say, "Well, I prayed today. I've done my duty. Now I can go about my business." I knew a man a number of years ago who was not a member of my faith, but I was always impressed by his Christ-like behavior and his Christian demeanor. And one day we were talking about his daily routine, and he said that every morning he would get up, he would shave and shower, get dressed in a suit and tie, He would go into his study, and therein he would have his morning devotions where he would pray and he would study his scriptures. And I said, why do you become so formal about that? And he said, well, basically, he considered that time to be his personal interview or his personal visit with the Lord himself, and that he wanted to be dressed and alert and be his very best, as if he was literally in the presence of God or the Savior himself. And I was very intrigued by that, and it made me appreciate how we can do better in how we address Heavenly Father and how we worship him and how we address him and his Son, Jesus Christ. My prayer for each of us is that in the days ahead that we will renew our faith in God, and that through prayer we will establish and strengthen that faith in terms of receiving guidance and direction on the things that we need to do to be prepared for what is happening in the world. As one of the experts said, things are going to get worse before they get better. So be mindful, use common sense, be prayerful, and trust in the Lord. Be prepared and not be caught up in fear. Is my hope and prayer for each of us. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.